The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
Let's look at the book of Matthew tonight, chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we'll learn some stuff tonight. How many need a word from heaven tonight? Do you? I do. I don't need to hear what Jim Crabb says. Let me tell you, Jim Crabb doesn't have much to say. But I can tell you I'll tell you that God's got something to say tonight. That's what I care about. That's who I want to hear from. Jim Crabb's a nice guy. He's obviously a handsome man. He's a sweet guy. But I need a word from God. That's the word that'll sustain my heart and my life. And so we give God thanks. This is one of my, one of the most important series of verses for me personally that God gave me, and I got a hold of this years ago, and I live on these verses. These are some of the verses this is one of what I would say some of my go-to verses right here. You got your go-to verses, right? This is one of my go-to verses that makes it all work, okay? In Matthew chapter 16, you know these verses here. In verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples and he said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" You know, we've got it, Beth and Bob did it for us and put it outside the door here up on the wall. They put, because if you talk to me and I haven't spoken with you in a half hour, I'm going to ask you, what do you think about Jesus today? And I mean what I say. That's not some flippant cliche to me, because what I'm trying to challenge you to do is the way you answer that question that's on that wall out there has everything to do with how your life's going to go with God. What do you think about Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? You know, to a lot of people, Jesus is just some religious concept and idea and a construct of religiosity. But to those that have been born again, Christ to us, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to make myself a little more accountable here. I'm telling you, years ago, God spoke to me. I've been in disobedience. I'm cleaning up all the little areas of my life that I haven't obeyed Him in. Yeah. Yeah. These little things that I know He's told me to do. And Sarah can tell you, I'm working on vows that I made to God. Even some years ago that I've slipped a little bit away from, and I'm not talking about sinful things, just things that I committed to God personally, I'm getting those close. Anyway, one of the things is he told me, I'm telling you, I know I'm supposed to do it, I'm supposed to write this book. And it's a book, the What Do You Think About Jesus answer book, and it's the best answers that I've gotten through the years of asking that question. I've been asking that question for probably 43 years I've been asking that question. And I've gotten some great answers. I really have started on this. I just got to do this. So I've made myself accountable. There you go. But it comes from this idea. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who is he to you? Well, you know, to me, I just... poke me, and that's why I preach long all the time, man, because that's what I'm trying to do is tell you what I think about it. Yeah. Because to me, he's my Savior. He saved me 44 years ago, 28th of July, 1973, man. He rescued my life. He delivered me by His own power. I'm telling you. I don't know what He's done for everybody else, but I'm telling you, He delivered me. I turned over a new leaf. I'm telling you, as one guy said, I got a new life. He gave me a new heart. I'm not the same guy that I used to be. I'm a brand new man. And I'm getting newer and newer as I go along. He He forgave me. That's you got to understand what that means to somebody like me that had such a laundry list of sin. I talk about drugs and alcohol. And stuff. I mean, are you kidding me? Those the little bitty things that I did, man. I mean, His blood forgave me of all my sin, all the bad thoughts, all the sensuality, all the devil stuff I did, all the demonic stuff, all the self-willed stuff that I did. I didn't live for God. I wasn't looking for God. I didn't care about God. I didn't care that much about anybody else. I cared for myself, but His, whom do men say that I, the Son of, this is who I think He is, man. He's my Savior. He's the one that gave me a new heart. He healed my mind. He gave me soundness. He gave me the right girl. He gave me my family. He's strengthened my body. He's healed me multiple times over and over again. His favor has been on my life. That's who I think He is, man. He's the favor giver. I never dreamed that from that party I was in on the west side of Cincinnati that night I got saved, that God would take me around the world and preach in some of the world's great churches with incredible leaders and people that God is, you know, the Bible says your gift will bring you before great men and give you favor with great. I mean, I've met some of the greatest preachers anywhere I could today, and they're my friends, man. I'm telling you, what do I think about Jesus? Are you kidding me? I think He's more than the church knows that He is. And I've spent my life trying to wake the church up, not just this church, every church I preach in. I'm trying to wake people up to the reality that Christ is a living person, that Christ means more and can do more in 5 seconds than we can do in a lifetime. And so Jesus is asking His disciples here at Caesarea Philippi, and He asks them, who are people? You know, when people talk about me, Jesus, who do they say I am? What are they saying about me? He's helped me a little bit. He helped me, you know. What are people saying about me? And they said, well, some people are saying you're John the Baptist. I mean, John the Baptist was a cool brother. John the Baptist was related to Jesus. He was a powerful man. He baptized people in the water. But John the Baptist knew this. I don't hold a candle to him. I don't hold a candle. You know, some preachers get this, they get struck with, you know, they think applause and large crowds means they're wonderful. Listen, man, I'm not, after Jesus, it's hard to be impressed with anybody. I'm serious, excuse me. I love you. I really do. I like you, man. But I'll tell you, compared to Him, the greatest preacher that's ever preached, somebody with a healing ministry, listen, it all starts with Him. He's greater than John the Baptist, my brothers and sisters. John the Baptist said about Him in John chapter 1 that Jesus is the light. I'm not that light. I just the forerunner of that light, man. John, some people are saying you're John the Baptist. Some people are saying you're Elijah. Now, listen, man, I'm an Elijah fan. Hallelujah for Elijah. You got to like Elijah. Brother sat in caves and sat on hills and called down fire. And I mean, he was a bad prophet. He was a serious prophet, man. But listen to me. But he wasn't Jesus. He wasn't the Savior. John the Baptist nor Elijah ever saved anybody from their sin. Did they? They prophesied about the Lord, but they... Some saying you're John the Baptist. See, if you tell me he's John the Baptist, that tells me you don't get it yet. If you tell me he's Elijah, then you don't get it yet. Because Elijah never saved anybody. Elijah never died for anybody. Right? Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. So, you know, it's like dueling prophets. You know, how cool do you think he is? No, I think he was like Elijah. No, I think Jeremiah was cooler, so he's probably Jeremiah come back. No, he's greater than Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said unto them, and here's the question you got to answer tonight. This is what I'm trying to wake you up to. I mean this, man. I'm trying to wake us up to this question. But who do you say he is? And how you answer that question, I am convinced, has everything to do with how life is going to go for you. I mean it, man. Because when you get the idea and get from the Word of God what it says that he is everlasting life itself. In the beginning was the Word. That's who he is. He was in the beginning, already in the beginning, before anybody, any human being ever got started. He was already there in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. He was with God. I didn't get with God until the 28th day. I act like it's a long time ago. That was 44 years ago. He was already with God, already in the beginning. He was with God in eternity past. He was with God in the eternity. He'll be with God in the eternity future, man. That's who he is. He's everlasting life. He is eternal life. We act like, you know, when we talk about you need to become a Christian, you get eternal life. It's like we get this extension of just ongoing, like what eternal life is, we think sometimes is just longevity. Brother, I got something greater than longevity. I've got life. I don't know how to tell you. I've got the Bible word for it is Zoe. It's the Greek word for life as God lives it. When I got eternal life, that I think longevity is just an afterthought of the concept of life itself. Amen. The reason we have longevity, the reason we go on for eternity, is because of the quantity and the quality of the life that we get on the inside of us. When I got saved, I didn't just get some religious thing happening to me. I got eternal life. I got life as God. I'm living life now. This will make you mad, sad, glad. Don't care, because I got it. I'm living life today. Go out and tell people that I said this. When you have eternal life, you begin to live life like God lives it. The kingdom of God. Jesus said, don't go. You can't observe the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. We've got eternal life. We're more than church members. Huh? I didn't join the church. I became a part of the body of Christ when I got saved. Who do I say he is? He's life itself. There's a life-giving flow that's flowing constantly from the throne of God. Right? All your relatives that are at the throne, you got any relatives that really did make heaven, you think? Huh? Maybe a couple? Couple you're unsure of? Well, they're at the throne of God now, if they got there. And out of the throne of God, man, is this force of life. The tree there, the tree in the garden was called the tree, come on, of life. Who do I think he is? He's the life giver tonight. He gives life. And why is that important? It's important because I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I was dead. I had no life in me. But when Jesus came into my heart, he gave me eternal life. I didn't become a church member. I became a member of the body of Christ, and a life-giving force has been flowing through me ever since. And who do I say he is? He's the healer. He heals bodies. He heals minds. He puts lives together. Who do I think he is? He's the only hope for mankind. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. There is no other way. You can get mad about it. You can say, narrow-minded. I am so narrow-minded. You never met anybody as narrow-minded as I am, in the sense that narrow in the sense that there's only one way to eternal life. There's not any other way. We're not going to make up ways. We're not going to let go of the fact that truth is truth and that Christ died for our sins. He's the only way anybody gets saved. It's through Jesus. Well, you're narrow-minded. Well, Jesus said the way, the straight is the way. Narrow is the way and broad is the way that leads to destruction. It's how narrow is it? Well, it's as narrow as Jesus is. He's the way, man. And I don't know why. That doesn't bother me. Because I got him. And we're trying to tell everybody else to get him. Right? Who do you say that I am, Pastor Craig? Who do you say I am? That's what I spend my life trying to tell you. I try to spend, most of the time I feel like I spend my life trying to tell you to be happy about it. And Simon Peter answered and said, here's who I think you are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him. That may have been the first thing Peter got right in a long time, isn't it? Huh? Jesus said to him, well, this is Jim Crabb translation. Well, bless your heart. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood, I'm talking about, this is one of the primary things and constructs of Scripture that keeps me on the rock. Because flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But my Father, which is in heaven, revealed it to you. I just want to talk for a little bit about the Spirit of God inside us. Revealing the power of our life is not based on somebody giving us information. That's why these churches today are taking the Holy Ghost out and the move of the Spirit of God and the inspiration and impartation and the life-giving power out of the services, out of the worship, and out of they don't have healing lines and there's not any anointing in the thing they got a lot of theology. Listen, man, you're missing something, brother. Because this thing was, the church is built on this truth right here. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You can't know that like you know it just by flesh and blood telling you about it. In other words, somebody didn't just stand up and give you the information. Well, Jesus, if you're taking notes tonight, Jesus is the Christ. Write this down. The Son of, like it's some history lesson. There is history in it. There's facts in it. But that's not what he said. He said, flesh and blood didn't tell you this or show you this. See, until we all get to that place that the number one quest of our life is God, reveal truth to me. We all like the book of Revelation. A revelation means an uncovering, or to take the bark off so you can look inside. Take the veil off so you can look into it. You can see what it is. Well, that's what he said. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Man didn't tell you that. See, I want the power of my life is not what a man taught me and told me. The power of my life is in the Spirit of God himself. The Spirit of God unveiling the truth. You know, I can, as flesh and blood, I can tell you something. And I can tell you the same thing. I can give you the same information that the Spirit of God takes and unveils it, takes the veil off of it. And we're both talking about the same thing, but the power of the thing is in the Spirit of God revealing it to your heart. You know, the things you, in all of our life, we have a laundry list of things we're winning at, things we're struggling at, right? You know, I'm telling you, the things you win at are the things that God's revealed to you. The things you struggle at are things that you know about but aren't revealed to you. And that's why we need a revelation of salvation, what it really is. I would say we need some kind of class for church kids, kids that grew up in church. They can be, you know, that's a hard thing, man, to grow up in the church. I don't know. In some ways, I think people like me or some of these other folks, you know, in some ways there is some benefit to, man, when Jesus revealed himself to me, I mean, I went to church, but I'm talking about the danger of kids that grow up in a church where the Spirit of God is, and they see a bunch of stuff and hear a bunch of stuff, but that doesn't mean it's revealed to them. You know, my babies get no pass on, well, your dad was a pastor. I mean, you get a, may God bless you for putting up with him. Some mercy on you. But you don't, you know what? Leah and Aaron, they just because I got a revelation and I get all excited about, woo, look what Jesus did, that doesn't mean they got it. Because Leah's got to have her own revelation of Jesus. And just because Curtis is married to her, he doesn't get any pass. He's got to get his own. Isn't that right? Aaron's got to get her own. Sarah, bless her heart, man. She's got to get her own revelation. You need a personal revelation of who Jesus is. We all do. He said, you're blessed, Peter, because flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But my Father, which is in heaven. You know, we need a revelation of all the principles of the Word, man. We need a revelation of Jesus as our Savior. We need a revelation of Jesus. I'm so glad I got a revelation as a young believer of the baptism in the Holy Ghost and the power of God. It was revealed to him. And you know, since like the fourth week I got saved, people have, I started hearing stuff about why the baptism in the Holy Spirit, this before I knew I'd heard about it, but I didn't know what it was. But people have been trying to tell me that's not real since about the first month I got saved. I had a guy, actually, when I was working at Procter & Gamble, I just got saved, got a job at Procter & Gamble, and I was driving this truck. I was driving this truck between Ivorydale Technical Center and some other buildings, and I would, you know, they did the Procter & Gamble and all the laundry and soap detergents and all that kind of stuff. Well, at the Ivorydale Technical Center where I worked, well, they, you know, they did test stuff there. So there was women. There was a giant laundry room. And people in the building, the way they tested the stuff was people in the building would bring in their laundry in these big white bags of laundry with their name written on the outside of it and bring it in. And in this giant room, there was all these women. They were full-time Procter & Gamble employees. And they stood at washing machines and washed all day long. Huh? And they washed with different test product and detergents and stuff. Well, that's how low on the totem pole I was. I was under the ladies that washed, man. I mean, and so I was the truck driver that drove the laundry from building to building. They'd get it from other facilities, and they'd wash those clothes, and I'd take it back. And I did that for about a month, and then I got promoted to this other lousy job. it was just better than the other lousy one I had. But this guy got in that truck, and this guy was a, that's why I'm talking about the power of stuff revealed to you. Well, this guy, he was a spirit-filled guy, but he was an apostolic guy. If you ever ran into an apostolic or a Jesus-only person, if you're Jesus-only tonight, hallelujah, I say Jesus is the only way, but I'm not, I believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Trinity and the power of God, the Godhead and the Trinity. The Jesus-only people believed that where there was not a Trinity, right? That where Jesus was, that's where the Father and Son were. Or the Holy Spirit and the Son. So, I mean, it wasn't three in one like we would believe. And so what that leads you to understand is, it took me a while to figure it out what this guy was trying to tell me, but what he's telling me is, well, you're not saved until you speak in tongues. Because the Spirit and Jesus are the same thing, so if you've not spoken in tongues yet, right, then you're not saved because Jesus isn't in you, because Jesus and the Spirit are one and the same. Well, this cat, I'd been saved a few weeks. I'm telling you, the day I got saved, it's like God. The day before that, I told you, the week I got saved, I was staying up. I was doing a lot of drugs and staying up all night. I was reading all kind of Eastern religion books. I seriously thought about I'm gonna become a Buddhist, monk, and I was reading Siddhartha and. This is getting bad. So if you'd asked me about God, I got saved on Saturday night. If you'd asked me about God up until Saturday night, I couldn't have given you anything that made sense. But that night I got saved, there something, it's what happened. God reached down into my heart and took the veil off my heart. And I saw Jesus as the Savior. Yes. That he died for my sin. Yes. That he raised from the dead by the power of God. And that he gave eternal life and would forgive all my sins. I saw that in an instant of time. I didn't sit through a class. I didn't go through a catechism. I'm telling you, when I knelt down by that bush outside that party, the Holy Spirit took that veil off and showed me the salvation of Jesus Christ. So weeks later, I'm in this laundry truck. And I'm training this guy what to do with this laundry. And he's a Jesus-only guy. So I figured out what he was really telling me was, because I had heard about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but I didn't speak in tongues yet. And so what this guy was, I figured it out one day. We're bumping along in that truck. And I finally got what he was saying. He was saying, I'm not a Christian yet. And I wanted to go, brother, I'm telling you, you could have told me anything else. Might not have been true. But one thing you can't, I'd have to deny myself because the Spirit of God revealed it to me. It never crossed my mind to shake for a second. It never crossed my mind that he might be right. He'd been a Christian for a long time and goes to a Spirit-filled church and knows what he's talking about. I almost felt sorry for him and said, well, bless your stupid heart. I love you, man. But I'll tell you what, it'd be like I did it today. Sarah got me a jumbo size of peanut butter. Reduced fat Jif. I took me one of those big old spoons. Not some little tablespoon. And I put it down in that peanut butter. I said, Pastor, you need some protein because you're going to preach good tonight. And I took that, man, I had me a load of peanut butter. I might have had a quarter pound on my thing there. Man, I put that peanut butter in my mouth. That'd be like me having that peanut, you know, and you get that, you know, it's just, it was so good, man. And I've been trying to eat better and do all that stuff, so that tasted really good, man. And listen to me. That'd be like me having that peanut butter in my mouth, having known I got into that peanut butter jar. And I'm in that peanut butter. That'd be like you trying to tell me in the middle of that experience there is no such thing as peanut butter. I'd say, brother, you are too late because I have just tasted. I have just had a mouthful. I had me a double big spoonful of peanut butter. I'm telling you, I told that guy, I said, brother, I'm telling you, water is wet. Birds fly. Hallelujah. And Jesus is my Savior. Because God had unveiled it to me. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've questioned a lot of things. I've doubted through time since I've become a Christian. But I've never doubted the power of what happened to me that night. When Christ reached in there and changed my heart and put a brand new spirit in me, I've never doubted that I have eternal life. I've never doubted for a second that the power of God changed me into a brand new creature. You know what I do now? Listen, I'm not trying to get something to happen. What I've spent 44 years doing is just reading what already happened to me. I just read it in God's word and I'll say, oh yeah, okay. That's part of that. This is a book. It's almost like, it'd be like a whole description, 66 books about what peanut butter really is. I just had me a big mouthful of it. And now I'm finding out what it's made of and all the glory that's in that thing. That's what happens to us, man. Who do you say I am? Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. I'm believing God that there's going to be a revival of revelation, knowledge of the scripture, go through this place, that we're going to get hungry, not just to read. You know, some people, we've got devotionals out here. We read our devotionals and we love the word. We read scriptures. Hallelujah. But we're not just talking about having the information from a devotional. I want what the devotional says in the scripture to be unveiled to me. Make that truth known and real to me. Every piece of that thing that's in Christ. Make it known to me. Watch what he said. And I say to you, verse 18, he's telling Peter this. He's saying, you are Peter. You know, Peter's name means little rock. This is cool how this happened here, man. He said, you are a little rock. And upon this rock, I've looked at it. I'm telling you, it's a different word. This word rock, when he says, upon this rock, he's not talking about Peter. You couldn't build a popsicle house on Peter. Look at his issues, man. Peter was shaky. Peter was flaky. Peter was all over. He's cutting ears off people. Jesus had to pick up the guy's ear, heal the guy's ear. Peter was a case, man. Jesus is smarter than to build the church on Peter. And you know, there's religions that believe that Peter was the first pope. Peter, gotta be kidding me, man. He's not building anything on Peter, but he is building it upon this rock. Now that word Peter means little rock. This word rock means a massive, immovable rock object, different than the word Peter means. Upon this massive rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never overcome it. What is that rock? Here, I'm going to tell you what the rock is. The rock's not a person. That's what I'm saying. That's what they, who do people say I am? Some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say that you're Jeremiah. See, it's bigger than that. Upon which rock would he build his church? The rock that he just described. God, by his Spirit, taking information from the Word of God and unveiling it to your heart. That's where the power force is. Huh? That's why I believe in the church. I'm not basing it on somebody. Listen, my power source is more than my will, more than I have decided. It's based on a truth that is deeper than information can give you. I have it deeper than my mind. It's revealed to my heart. You could cut both of my arms off. I couldn't. That's why all the apostles and stuff, that's why they stood there and they told them to deny Jesus. Why? If you got a real revelation of Jesus, you can't deny Jesus. Well, we're gonna boil you in oil, they told John. He said, well, start boiling, Bren, because I can't deny what I know. It's revealed to me. I'll build my church on this. This is what I want to tell you tonight. The power of our sustainability is not based on you finding a preacher that gives you information that your mind theologically can comprehend, because that power will only go so far. But the power of the Holy Spirit revealing truth. Well, Jesus said the gates of hell will try to prevail against that truth, and it will not prevail. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, thank you. I got them. You know what Jesus is telling me all my life? Don't lose the keys. I have a bad habit. It takes 7 armor bearers and secretaries and stuff to help me find my keys. Pastor, here's one thing we don't want you to do, brother. Don't lose the key of the kingdom. The key of revealed truth to your heart. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, real quick, we'll close with this right here. Hallelujah. Everybody say revealed knowledge. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2. This will help you go home tonight and have something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? The rock of my life now. Nobody can move me. Everybody can leave. Everybody can be mad. Everybody can be, it doesn't matter. You can't move somebody that's got revealed truth and revealed knowledge. That's why that guy trying to tell me I'm not a Christian. Brother, my mouth's full of peanut butter here. Tell me Jesus is not a healer. Tell me Jesus can't do anything. Tell me that there's no hope for my life. There's always hope. There's always hope. What time is it? Valley time. Listen, man. He said, verse 4, my speech, in 1 Corinthians 2, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. So it wasn't eloquence. But the power of my ministry was in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, you know, I know when we read that, sometimes we think that the demonstration of the power of God is only like an outward demonstration. Like we saw God come to, man, the Lord was there tonight because he came in there And he touched somebody's body and they got healed. That's a demonstration of the Spirit. Great. I'm not saying that there is no demonstration. But I'm saying there's a deeper demonstration. And the deepest demonstration, that's what Paul was saying about his preaching, is not when I give you the information. The deepest demonstration is when the Spirit of God takes what I say in the middle of a thing. It doesn't matter if somebody jumped out of a wheelchair and ran around this thing. That's not why I believe in healing anyway. I believe in healing because the Spirit of God revealed Jesus the healer to me. That's the demonstration of the Spirit. So that your faith wouldn't stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want to just go around. Maybe I'll just have a ministry. I'll go to churches that are losing the Holy Ghost and giving up on the power of God and say, you guys, look here, man. We want your faith to stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among those that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. No wonder church is weird. There's mysterious things going on here. What's he so excited about, Myrtle? I don't know. I don't. What's going on? Why do these people? What's going on? It's because there's mysterious things going on here. When I was a kid, there was a show on the afternoon. There was a show on called the Outer Limits. We're there. My church is weird. It's mysterious. Yes. 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 It's deeper than natural information and knowledge. We're on the outer limits of everything, where the Spirit of God that made the world, that moved on the waters, comes and gets among us. Gets on the preacher and things start happening. But the best part is, and then he moves on the inside of the people and starts unveiling stuff and revealing stuff to their life. You know, that's why we think we're weird, man. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. You can't understand what I'm talking about unless you've really tasted of this stuff. I'm talking about something that can't be explained and described. If the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal it to people, you are not good enough preacher to tell somebody why they need to get saved. Huh? But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom. We're telling you things that are hidden away and in a mysterious zone. But look at this now. But God ordained before the world those hidden mysterious things unto our glory. This stuff's been hidden away for me. And when I got saved, all that God had hidden away, he began to reveal to me the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Huh? Unto my glory, so that I could have a glorious life. It's awesome, isn't it? You know, Ben, you can have a glorious marriage. You can have glorious children. You can have glorious relationships. Huh? But it is, which verse 8, which none of the princes of this world, they didn't know about it. Would you get over the thinking that how smart the devil is? Would you get over, the devil's an idiot. You try to overthrow God, you don't have a lot going for you, brother. And think you can get away with it. And you've been around, you've seen nobody's ever gotten away with it before. Then 1/3 of the angels lost their mind. and thought they could overthrow God. They were going to get with Lucifer because he was a cool worship leader. And we're going to overthrow God. Huh? And then the princes of this world down here, they thought, well, we're going to get rid of Jesus. Here's what we'll do. The princes got together and said, we'll speak to these men that aren't saved. And you know what we'll do with this Jesus guy? He may be God, but we'll deal with him. You know what we're going to do? We're going to crucify him. Like we're going to hurt him. We're going to crucify him. Jesus said, that's a great idea. See the difference? The princes of this world thought they had a certain kind of knowledge and information. What they didn't have was they couldn't get into the revealed knowledge of that the crucifixion, it wasn't going to kill God. It was going to destroy the back of darkness and sickness and disease and the devil himself. For had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. They would never have done it. But you know what? The devil isn't smart, and he didn't know it. So he crucified him. But as it is written, I have not seen, neither hath ear heard. This is how good this is. Neither hath entered into the heart of man. Now, you know, sometimes when people read verse 9, they read that as though those are unchangeable facts in the first part. I hath not seen, neither hath ear heard. It's never entered into anybody's heart what great things the Lord hath done. So we're just going to stay as ignorant as we are now. No. Thus far, eye hasn't seen. You can't see it with your eye. Not your natural eye. You can't hear it with your natural ear. I didn't hear about the power of God with my natural ear. Some natural information didn't enter into my heart. Here's what happened. Look at this. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God. So verse 9. I. Ear, mind. That's not where we get our information. But God has done something. Huh? He has revealed them, these glorious things, unto us. How's he done it? By his Spirit. For the Spirit that reveals those things to us, searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God. The Spirit of God, he knows the deepest things of God. Verse 11, this is good, listen to this. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of the man that's in him? Who knows the most what you're like is not your spouse, not your mama, not your best friend. No. You know who knows more about you than anybody? You do. Your spirit. Your spirit knows every intricate detail of who you are. In the same way, that's why we need the Spirit of God in us, because who knows more about God than his Spirit? Because his Spirit is God, knows him. Who knows more about God than his Spirit? So if we get the Holy Spirit working in us, what's going to be happening? He's going to be telling us things about God. He's going to be telling us, revealing to us things about the kingdom. He's going to be giving us keys that open doors and lock things up and bind things up in life that aren't supposed to be there and loose things in our life that are supposed to be there. Woo! Who knows more about me than my spirit? Who knows more about God than the Spirit of God? Isn't that right? Even so, into verse 11, even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. In other words, the power of the Holy Spirit is not a shondele bosti bligili masata. It's more than an outward laying hands on somebody and seeing them healed. It's just the inner thing. When the Spirit of God that knows all about God shows me that He's my healer, my baptizer, who do you say that I am? That's why I can keep talking about Him, because the Holy Spirit has been working in me for 44 years, unveiling truth to me. Unveiling. And I'm telling you, man, the rock of those things that God reveals to you when you're filled with the Spirit. So that's why, you know, sometimes Pentecostal people can be the flakiest people on the block. Because they're into outward demonstration. But the power we saw tonight in the Scripture is when God demonstrates Himself by revealing the truth to Him. What do I want for my children and my grandchildren and my church family? I want the Spirit of God to reveal truth to you. And unveil the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Let's all stand up here real quick. Thank God for His word tonight. Thank God for His word.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crabb and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.